Hey there, I'm Wendy Vaughn, sales success coach. Now they call me the queen of predictable sales results. Well, because the easy formulas I share create sustainable, predictable results for my clients. And I am so glad that you've tuned in to today's episode of the Selling Made Easy show, because this show is all about inspiration, not just in demystifying the client getting process known as sales, but also in peering through the lens of guest entrepreneurs who are blazing their own trails. And those trails have probably included a few unexpected roadblocks, maybe even having to overcome fears or blocks about selling. Now, I believe everyone has their zone of genius, their superpower that's a gift to others, including you. Now, for me, after 22 years of outperforming my peers in sales results, well, it's almost an X-ray vision that I have when it comes to finding and fixing any sales blind spots within entrepreneurs that are unknowingly causing clients to slip away. And with today's guest, her zone of genius is her ability to help entrepreneurs fully understand their financial data and help them use this important information to achieve their business goals. So I am super excited to introduce Penny Lane. Now, Penny works with small businesses as an outsourced CFO, helping them better understand their finances and use that data to make brilliant decisions and more profit. Now, she specializes in the construction and personal development industries and also provides QuickBooks training through easy-to-follow, easy-to-implement video courses and more personalized one-on-one consulting. Well, welcome, Penny. I am so excited to have you as my guest today.
Wendy, thank you very much. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, and I just love how you're helping business owners with one of the most important elements of being in business, their financial well-being. I can't wait to hear more about your expertise, your business journey, and this work that you're now doing.
Thanks, Wendy. I really do have a lot of passion for helping business owners get to the financial part of their business. It's very intimidating for a lot of small business owners
Oh,
and
yeah.
creative people who found themselves in business and now suddenly they have to deal with finance.
Right.
And I really like to break it down for them and help them fall in love with their numbers as much as I am.
Yeah, and that's almost like the same world that I am in terms of something that, isn't always embraced, right? Financial numbers, selling, those are two of the kind of the sticking points. So, well, Penny, exactly what was the inspiration or tipping point that prompted you to go into business for yourself?
I kind of think that entrepreneurship is in my blood. My mom has been an entrepreneur and she's a really creative person, much more creative than I am most of her life. She had a childcare business for 18 years and she also had a cake decorating business and she was always doing these side gigs throughout my life when I was growing up. And her parents were also entrepreneurs. They owned convenience stores and a bar at one time. And so while I'm not as creative as my mom is in my mind, from the time I started working at 16, I approached every job I had like it was my own business. The actual tipping point for me starting my own business, the tipping point was very practical though, and this was when I found myself with three young children and my husband working on the road, living in a small town. So day to day, the real 40-hour a week jobs, the 9 to 5s, just weren't flexible enough to cope with in my life.
Right. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And especially since you had, been firsthand experiencing entrepreneurship your entire life. So you knew it was a possibility to just align with expertise and talent that you had and take your business out there into the world. So, how long have you had your business, and has your mission or vision evolved during this time?
Definitely. I have been in business about 20 years and I started out doing bookkeeping for small businesses.
Okay.
And now what I do is very different. It evolved over the years in an interesting way. So I started out doing bookkeeping for small businesses. And as I was doing the books for the numbers, presenting the numbers to my clients, okay, here's your books all done. They would often have a lot of questions and they would these questions would cause me to go back and say, oh, okay, well, how can I get the answers for that? And this went on to the point where I became a solution seeker and presenter. So more than just here's your numbers, I started to really get into helping them find the answers inside of the numbers. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of great mentors over my evolution as an entrepreneur. I was very fortunate to have some wonderful mentors in my life that I worked with that also helped me to evolve from bookkeeper to outsourced CFO.
Right. Yeah, that's great. I really love how you realized that your expertise was well beyond, you know, just keeping somebody's books, and that you have that, what I call an X-ray vision, really, into what the numbers mean, what the numbers tell, and how to use that. And then following that path into growing your role and the support that you provide into now being a CFO that businesses can tap into. So, well, have there been any big roadblocks or challenges that you've had to overcome along the way?
A couple of things. I think one of the interpersonal issues that I've struggled with a lot is that imposter syndrome that will crop up.
That's surprising to me, Penny. I mean, 20 years, obviously, you know, you probably have evolved past that, but yeah, I find that really interesting. Can you share a little bit more about that feeling of not being the expert, but yet obviously you are the expert?
Yeah. So many, many years ago, I'd really become an expert in construction bookkeeping. Okay. And I'd become really good at extracting the information and understanding my clients. I think it comes a lot from a need or a desire to serve, to be a helper. Hmm. And you might be surprised to find that a lot of accountants and bookkeepers have this trait in their personality, is to be a helper. So at one point I decided I've gotten really good at this and I've figured out some really interesting stuff. And I have people contacting me all the time, asking me all about these questions about this construction accounting and bookkeeping and how you set it up in QuickBooks. So I decided to create a workshop and teach it. And I just had a lot of thoughts about, well, what don't I know? Who do I think I am that I can teach this to people? Mm-hmm. What if I don't know everything that I think I know? What if there's questions that I don't know the answer to? And that kind of thing has cropped up for me a lot. But of course, it was not an issue because people were amazed by what I knew. And the more confirmation you get, the more you push through the feelings of I'm an imposter, even though at some level, you know that you know what you know, and you know that you're good at what you do. That feeling is often going to crop up, I think, for a lot of people. I mean, almost everyone, we're human. But the more that you push through that and receive the positive feedback, the next time that it crops up, you can remind yourself of that last time and you just become more and more resilient. Because I'll tell you, yes, I still have imposter syndrome all the time cropping up, but it's much easier for me to cope with because I have that experience to go, yeah, remember when you thought that before and everything worked out fine and you got positive feedback, what's the worst that can happen, you know?
Yeah, right. And it's interesting. And I kind of alluded to this earlier. You know, it's your zone of genius and it's something that you're so close to. And with a zone of genius comes an ease, right? It's an easy thing for you to do your work. It's easy for you to look at somebody's numbers and make sense out of them and help them really step into decisions that are going to allow them to achieve business goals. But for your average person, your average business owner, the numbers are just simply, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. And I spent this much. We earned this much. We had this much revenue. And that's about all it means. But it's interesting to hear how you have seen that as not really something that is that beneficial in creating that sense of imposter syndrome. But through the years, like you said, everybody has benefited from the clarity that you provide. And so, yeah, I love your advice of just really taking inventory of those times when you questioned or doubted the impact you're making. And that allowed you to regain your confidence. Are there any other techniques that you have learned along the way to get over that sense of, I'm not sure if I'm really enough or if I'm actually going to make that big of a difference? Are there any other techniques that you've learned along the way?
Yeah, I think you're right in that sometimes the ease with which our work comes to us does contribute a little bit to the imposter syndrome, because we kind of wonder, is this really even valuable? And then am I the right person to convey it? And for me, other than looking back, but even that technique of looking back is something that I learned from working with mentors, business coaches, and participating in mastermind groups. Mm-hmm. I find that the outside perspective you get from others that you respect is so valuable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It can really push you past that point, because as an entrepreneur, if you're going to move forward, you're going to have to break through a lot of feelings that are uncomfortable. You got to mm-hmm. take risks. You got to put yeah. yourself out there. Right. And it's the mentors and the coaches and my fellow colleagues in my mastermind groups that oftentimes give me that extra little push mm-hmm. to push through. And once you push through, it's just like a big relief and you've made it. But sometimes getting there is hard on your own.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And just like you said, surrounding yourself with a support system and people that can help you see that bigger picture and the difference that you're making. So yeah, that's great. I love that. And, you know, Penny, you're obviously an expert at helping small business owners truly understand their finances and achieve their business goals. But I'm curious, how do you feel about the client enrollment or sales part of being in business? This is a very different skill set. Do you have any challenges or frustrations with this important part of growing a successful business?
You know, in very small scale things, so my strategy sessions where I'm just going to be working with someone for short periods of time, it doesn't feel like selling to me. I'm just helping them uncover what they need to learn. And I just have a very much take me or leave me attitude about it. So I don't feel a lot of pressure. But mm-hmm. oftentimes when it's a larger dollar value engagement and a really important engagement, I feel like my biggest issue is nerves. I get very mm-hmm. nervous about it. Not necessarily because I'm super attached to the outcome, but I'm not really sure what it is actually. But when it's a more important and larger dollar value engagement, I get really nervous around that conversation.
Mm-hmm. And you're definitely not alone in that challenge and that feeling of fear or anxiety when it's attached to a bigger price tag. Right? Mm-hmm. Because we all have our kind of the stories and our relationship with money. And I'd be happy to provide you with a little bit of insight here and maybe enable you to shift your mindset a bit around that if you'd like.
That would be really helpful.
Yeah. So, you know, when you're talking with these business owners and you are assessing the fact that, boy, there could be more impact that I could be making, or, you know, working with their business in a much more strategic way than just simply providing a strategy or a short-term outcome. When you're looking at, you know, and I'm assuming that the higher the investment level, the more in-depth and comprehensive work that you're providing, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, yeah. So it goes up with the value and the extent of the work that you're doing. So in positioning the offer, which is related to the level of investment, what's really valuable to help offset any sort of sense of nerves or, gee, you know, I don't know if I've got what it takes, or what if they think that I'm just ridiculous in this investment level? Those are all related to simply your attachment with that number. And so if you can take steps to detach from that number and instead attach to just the magnitude of the work that you're providing to them and what their business looks like before working with you, whatever all the itemized aspects of that, it relates to how their payroll tax is, or the cost of the goods, or the deliverables, or the overhead, or, you know, I'm sure this is on and on and on. a myriad of different details that your work involves and addresses, however the financial story is for that business. And in your presentation or your offer, prior to your offer, you're detailing the different levels of work that you're going to be doing. When you really lean into the outcome or the return on their investment and how their business is going to actually be now meeting with multiple financial goals, and think about their numbers, how their numbers are going to increase or how they're going to be able to scale down their business and run more efficiently and therefore have more time available to them, have a more flexible lifestyle, or, you know, the outcomes of your work versus the actual price tag of, who knows, five figures, I'm just guessing, of what the investment level is. Instead of attaching to that number, attach yourself to the outcome. And that gets you more excited, I'm guessing, because that's the result of your work. And that's what's more exciting for them, is the result of your work. And then the dollar amount just becomes secondary. And you've come up with that number justifiably based on the amount of work you're going to be doing, no doubt, and the outcome that they're going to be receiving. But when you can detach from the actual dollar figure, because that's firing some old limiting beliefs for you based on your relationship with money. And it's work that has to be done in order to create a better relationship with money. But that's a long-term process. And so the shorter term technique to use to help you shift your mindset in those moments is to just really lean into how their business is going to be operating at such a more effective level or efficient level, or they're reaching those big, exciting goals, and what the impact is of those exciting goals for their business. And then the dollar amount is just, well, this is the cost of investment. This is what it is to work with me. So yeah, downplaying that number. And it's kind of a, you know, a trick you have to do with your brain, right? You have to outsmart your initial limiting beliefs that are like cropping up and saying, Penny, you're, you know, this is a big number. You're charging a lot. You know, are you sure? Are you really sure you want to be doing that? You know, and those limiting beliefs and those little voices are starting to get louder and louder and create that nervousness feeling. And so yeah, you just want to keep them at bay by not even thinking about the number and thinking more about the outcome of that great work that you're providing.
Yeah, that's interesting. It really does come from an attachment and a judgment on my side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because of course, when I put the price tag on the service that I'm going to provide, I only work with clients that I know I can bring tremendous value to.
Right.
I wouldn't even be having the conversation. And I spend
exactly.
I'd spend the entire conversation around my proposal and, you know, paragraphs and paragraphs around the outcome and the value that I'm going to bring them. And yet for some reason, my brain is focused on the bottom line and self-doubt around, are they going to have sticker shock? Like, I never doubt that I'm worth that. Mm-hmm. I just wonder if they're going to fully understand. And it's interesting because a lot of times when I get through with my conversation during the proposal, like, okay, well, here's what I've, you know, I've done an assessment and here's what I've come up with and what I think you would find really valuable. Oftentimes by the time I get down to the end, I'm not so nervous, but I stress about it in advance. It's like, I have all of this value and all my brain is focused on is the fear around this rejection of the number.
Right.
So you're suggesting that I consciously detach from that number.
Yeah, just forget about
it. Stay focused on the value.
Yeah, just you have to kind of outsmart the other side of your brain that forgets about all the great work that you've just done in preparing this proposal and all the work that you're going to be doing to serve the client. This little limiting belief is just all about, oh my God, Penny, are you really sure you want to charge that much? Are you really going to deliver? You know, it's just like, keep that voice sleeping by not even, you know, once you come up with a number that is congruent with the amount of value you're delivering, then forget about the number.
Yeah. Forget about the number.
Right. And it just happens to be this little added sideline, you know, oh, and you know, this is the cost of investment. And of course that comes up in the conversation, but it's not like, oh my God, I'm going to be talking about, I'm going to be presenting this $25,000 offer. You know, you don't lead with that going into the conversation. You take inventory of all the great work that you're going to be doing.
Right. Okay.
It's a little a brain game, you know, a little, how do I outsmart myself?
Yeah. I don't think I really thought about it quite that way before. Yeah. I mean, I knew that I was stressing about it and that it wasn't helpful. I never just told myself, hey, you've got the number. No, don't worry about that anymore.
Yeah. We're done with coming up with the number. Now that's, you know, let's forget about that as far as prepping for the meeting, instead of putting all this pressure on yourself about the number, you know, reconnecting about all the great work that you are going to be providing and the return on their investment, right?
Yeah. And, you know, it's been quite an energy sucker of the process, to be honest. And I haven't yet experienced the rejection that I so fear.
So. There you go. Yeah. So it's all just a delusion or an illusion, however you want to phrase it. But it's those little limiting beliefs that just, they start getting really loud at those moments because, you know, way back when whatever happened created some limiting beliefs and a, you know, kind of a negative relationship around money or self-worth, even though logically, you know, that you deliver in a tremendous way. You know, logically, it's this emotional healing that has to happen. And so this is just a quick fix to set up more of a calm experience, you know, and keep those nerves at bay when, regardless of the dollar amount that you're going to be presenting, it just becomes just, you know, more ease in terms of, hey, we're just going to talk about some work that, we could do together, how we can team up and how we can help you achieve those business goals that are really important to you.
I like this.
Yeah.
I'm going to try this.
Hopefully that moves the needle for you this next time and keeps those little gremlins from rearing their annoying little nagging voices that create that nervous feeling that is not fun, right? And we want business to be fun.
Yeah, so. That's one of the things that's not fun.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, and Penny, I'm curious here, you know, we've been talking about up-leveling and helping businesses reach their goals. And we're still in the middle of this pandemic. I mean, there is light at the end of the tunnel in terms of vaccine coming out and whatnot, but financially, and for many businesses, the pandemic has had a huge impact on their level of success, maybe on areas of how they're serving their clients. Can you share a little bit about how the pandemic has impacted the work that you do?
Well, it has definitely brought me a lot of work. A lot of businesses are struggling with a different kind of landscape or situation and on many levels than what they've had to deal with in the past, everywhere between a lot of financial stuff with PPP loans and EIDL loans,
right?
And employee sick pay. And then there's so there are a lot of practical matters, but there's also the matter of how their business might have been interrupted, particularly around supply chain issues. So if you can't get the materials that you need to do your work, now your work is suddenly delayed.
Right.
This creates a need for them to more than ever really understand their numbers and what decisions they need to make and where they need to make them. Mm-hmm. So I have a client, for example, who is having a lot of issues with supply chain issues, increased cost of materials, and we're doing a lot of work around what different scenarios would look like. Mm-hmm. Our volume is going to be reduced. How is that going to impact our bottom line? What do I need to do? How can we mitigate this situation? And the answers to that are really in the numbers. So there's practical outside things that are really happening to people around the pandemic.
Right.
And now they need to figure out, suddenly many things have changed in ways that they have no control over, but they do have control over how they handle it. And for that, they need information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that makes total sense. I hadn't even thought about the delay or even lack of access to supplies and things that were you know, so important to them actually providing their work. So yeah, that's, I can see how they're really looking to you for help in being more strategic with their financial data and use that to help in projections and how to merely flex with this situation. So hopefully the pandemic is going to be a thing of the past here in 2021, but we shall see. Well, Penny, how do you work with small business owners who want to finally understand those business finances and numbers and be more strategic in achieving their business goals? Can you share a little bit about your philosophy or your approach?
My main philosophy and approach has always been around service and helping, learning, and teaching. Learning and teaching might sound a little bit like opposite things, but I find that my curiosity and my desire to really understand my clients and their business and their story allows me to help them at a maximum level. Like if I don't understand what's really going on over here, right down to what is this product? What is it used for? That might not seem like something that an accountant needs to know, but the more I know about them and their business, the better I can help them understand their financial story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. And so what areas do you work with small business owners on in terms of their finances? Do you help with all the different aspects from employee payroll to inventory and all the different elements?
Yeah, for a lot of my career has been spent working on very detailed practical matters like making the software work and understanding how to do things like run payroll and have things set up correctly. And there's still a lot of that involved in my work, but it's a little bit more focused on the end of result. So I spend more time teaching and coaching others through the practical matters, but sometimes I do have to actually step in and remodel things inside of their accounting systems and their other workflow systems. But my focus really is on analyzing that data and working with the client to find out what it is that they need to know to make decisions. What do they need to know and understand about their business to help them sleep at night and to help them be more successful and reach their goals? That's where my real work comes in. But behind that, there really is a lot of practical, structural, day-to-day stuff that needs to get worked out a lot of times in advance. But the real power comes around now all of that is in place. Let's do some real work, some real understanding, some real goal setting and analysis.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. It's very valuable work. So, well, how can listeners reach you if they're interested in learning more about working with you?
You can learn more about me on my website at jobcosting.com. And always, anyone is welcome to email me at penny@jobcosting.com.
Okay, perfect. So that's job costing. So jobcosting.com, right?
Yep.
Or penny@jobcosting.com. All right, fantastic. Well, Penny, you've already shared so many golden nuggets of wisdom here and just listening to your story. But if I could tap on you one last time during our conversation, in looking at your own experience in building your business, what's some advice that you can share with, say, a frustrated entrepreneur who's maybe questioning their decision to have even started their business, or they're doubting their ability to succeed?
I would just say entrepreneurship is like an adventurous journey, and it's just not always all smooth sailing. Be prepared to ride out the challenges and know that they will pass. You're going to be better for what you've learned. And that, I know everybody hears this 1,000 times, but seriously, there really are no failures as an entrepreneur. The things that we might perceive as failures when we're in the middle of the nightmare are actually valuable lessons, and they are necessary stepping stones to get to the next level of success. Hmm. As an entrepreneur, you've got to take risks. And let me tell you, I have experienced some really spectacular in the moment, failures that felt like failures to me, that in retrospect, you know, I couldn't have gotten where I was without having learned the lessons that I learned through that quote unquote failure. And also, right. you know, don't think for a minute that the people that you admire and look up to have not also experienced insecurity, imposter syndrome, perceived failures, and all other manner of nightmares, because people just don't get successful without experiencing those things. The key is resilience and pushing through.
Yeah. Oh, that is great. I love that. And it's just, it's so reassuring, I guess, just hearing you, you know, articulate that the failures are just stepping stones, you know, they're really moments to, okay, let's assess, let's maybe, you know, adjust our direction here just a little bit, recalibrate, and, you know, move forward, learning from that. And sometimes it's not easy to see that bigger picture when we're right there and in experiencing some of these, you know, perceived failures. But yeah, I just love that wisdom that you've shared. That is really, really powerful and very, very inspirational. So thank you. I really appreciate you sharing that insight.
Yeah. You know, one other thing that I would say that has helped me a lot over the years is to try and avoid comparing yourself to other people. And also to really reflect on your progress on a regular basis. So this is looking back over 20 years of experience. And it took me a long time actually to working with business coaches to be reminded, okay, well, you may not feel like maybe you're comparing yourself to this person who you think is just so successful, but how about if you just compare yourself to you and where you were a year ago or 5 years ago, mm-hmm. and realize and really appreciate and recognize what you have achieved and where you are.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. That has always been my experience too. Every time I look to somebody else to compare myself with them and their accomplishments, why then that's when I start feeling, oh, maybe a little bit of that imposter syndrome, or just that, oh gosh, I'm so far behind, or, you know, nothing really great. And so I love that added sharing in terms of just another element to be able to step into our power, right? And move forward instead of putting that, you know, that make-believe, that delusional break that we sometimes put on the work that we're doing. So yeah, that's great. Well, Penny, it's just been, you know, so much fun hearing about your journey from your early experience growing up in an entrepreneurial world, you know, through your parents, through just how others have approached their options. And then because of a situation that presented itself with wanting to be more present for your family, then you stepped into being an entrepreneur and have really carried the torch for two decades now in making a huge difference, helping small business owners now really better understand their finances and how to use that data to make brilliant decisions and create more profit. I've really enjoyed our conversation. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on my show today.
Thanks, Wendy. I enjoyed it too.
Yeah. And for our listeners, you can reach Penny Lane through her website, jobcasting.com, or reach out to her directly through email, penny@jobcasting.com. All right. Well, for all our listeners, remember, when it comes to building a business that brings you joy and has an endless flow of high-paying clients, well, don't overlook the power of the optimized sales conversation, where you've triggered all four psychological states needed for your prospective clients to feel confident and excited about saying, yeah, this sounds great. What's next? So are you 100% confident that your sales conversations are optimized? Well, if you're curious, reach out to me and apply for a sales blind spot coaching session. You may be surprised by what we discover. All right. Well, this is Wendy Vaughn, Chief Paradigm Shifter and Sales Success Coach. And you can find me and our next podcast episode at predictablesalesresults.com. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to today's episode with Penny Lane. And as always, here's to your success.